joining me today is composer Chris Bacon, who's composed the music for every episode of Bates Motel. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm great, thanks. How are you today?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic. It's fascinating when I get a chance to talk to a composer, but there's something really neat that you've done that I've never had the chance to talk to a composer about yet, and you've composed the entire series of Bates Motel. So basically, the sound in this show has been your vision. So tell us about the challenges that there are in composing an entire season, an entire series all by yourself. What types of freedom does that give you, and what type of challenges does that give you?
Interesting question. First of all, because I think, so thank you for giving me credit for that. But anytime you're on a project like this, it is very much a collaboration between showrunners, producers, editors, composers, et cetera, through the whole post-production process. And so the sound that we ended up with on Bates Motel was very much a collaboration between kind of all of us, whether it was conversation or trial and error or just kind of floating thought balloons out there. And this is kind of what we, and even some of it comes as you, or as we progress through the season, and we do a couple episodes, and the arc starts to go a certain way, and the sound starts to go a certain way with that arc, and characters evolve, therefore the sound of those characters evolves. So it's really kind of an organic process, at least for me. And it is interesting sometimes to go back to hear things that we did on the first season that we might not have, in fact, didn't do on the fifth season, just because we were in a different place thematically and dramatically with the story. But it's thrilling to be able to do that and to be able to have that challenge and opportunity to create music for anything. I mean, it's a huge deal when someone wants to pay you to write music for them for anything. But then to try to step into a universe that's been inhabited by, someone like Bernard Herrmann and Alfred Hitchcock, et cetera, even though we're not that, there's still an kind of inescapable connection there. And so it is kind of thrilling and challenging and daunting to be a part of that. But I'm extremely proud to have been a part of it, and I very much loved the process and experience and people.
How much of the episodes in a season would have been completed by the time that you step in?
How many of the episodes, or how much of an episode?
Well, how many episodes? Like when they're filming a season nowadays, they tend to do the seasons pretty quickly. So are there a couple of episodes a season? Do you see how the season-long arc is going before you start composing your themes?
No. Because there's never enough time, right? And so they are wanting to have as much time as possible in getting the edit just right, getting the sound just right, getting whatever effects that may be just right. And then they're changing it constantly. But there's a finite amount of time because there's an air date that you've got to have. So on Bates Motel, I would typically come in about a week. A week or so before the final mix, we'd watch it, talk about where we thought the music should be, what it should be, and I'd go away and do it and give it to them a week later, and they'd be done, and off it goes.
And generally, how many minutes of music would you be composing for an episode?
Oh, it kind of depends, which is one of the wild cards of being a TV composer, because the amount of time you have to do it typically doesn't change. But the amount of work does. Sometimes it could have been 17 minutes, sometimes 37 minutes, just depending on what the what we kind of collectively thought the episode needed.
Yeah, and with TV shows nowadays, like they're with how many commercials and whatnot, like you're pushing 41 minutes or so with opening titles,
right,
and end titles and whatnot. So 37, that'd be a pretty significant portion of the episode that's scored.
Yeah, it is.
So how are you writing your music, and how are you composing it? Do you write for an orchestra? Or are you using a program to compose your music?
I write everything as most media composers do now, just because it's the nature of the thing. in a computer using sequencing software with a whole host of sampled sounds that kind of approximate an orchestra and piano and percussion instruments and harps. So I've got all of those sounds available to me, and I write there and create basically a mock-up of what it will sound like. We were very fortunate on Bates Motel to get to record with a real group every week of 20 incredible string musicians in Los Angeles. But I would still, part of the process is still getting approval. And so part of that process is getting demos out for people to hear. So it becomes my responsibility not only to write the music, but then to make sure that it's as accurately represented as possible in a mock-up or demo that goes out to be evaluated and approved. Mm-hmm. But in many cases, particularly in television, that mock-up is actually what gets aired. Those the samples, the sequencing of those electronic sounds or electronic representations of real sounds.
So going back to the beginning of Bates Motel, what was the audition process like for you to get hired on for it? Had you worked with any of the producers before, or did you have to come in with a demo, or did you have to come in with, hey, this is a theme that I think would work for a young Norman Bates?
In this case, it was, I got a call about a show that was being made called Bates Motel. That was a, kind of, they gave me a rundown of what it was. It's a sort of contemporary prequel to Psycho, but not really a prequel. It's an imagination of how Norman Bates could have become that Norman Bates, but set in contemporary times. And it really didn't sound like a very good idea to me, because trifling with that, with these cinematic legends, doesn't usually end well. But this was just after Lost had finished airing on ABC, and I was a huge Lost fan. And Carlton Cuse was one of the showrunners and kind of, part of the brain trust behind that. And he was one of the showrunners of this show. So I heard that, and I started to perk up and get more excited about the thought of it. And then I heard about who was in it, Vera Farmiga and Nestor Carbonell and Freddie Highmore, et cetera, et cetera. And then I thought, okay, well, this is actually sounds kind of exciting. How do I, and so we put together, usually put together a what they call a reel of music, just a collection of things that demonstrate what you do in a certain environment, whether it's we want it to, something that sounds like X, or just send us a kind of compilation that represents what you can do. And then you go from there to try to get a meeting, where you go in and actually sit down and talk with showrunners, producers, editors, perhaps, whoever has a kind of a voice on the production of the show. And in this case, they had taken something from the demo reel a couple of things from the demo reel that I'd submitted, and dropped those into the cut of the pilot they were working on. And there were a couple of things that just happened, I got lucky that happened to fit really well, that made it seem like, okay, this guy has the ability to write the sound that we're looking for. Now let's go and try to find what our version of that is. So based on that, the meeting, the demo music that they had, and their kind of placement of some of that demo music, which wasn't written for Bates Motel, which is taken from other projects, based on it being placed, again, the cut of the picture that they had, it kind of just led to a fortuitous series of events and me being hired and given a shot to score the show.
It was interesting the first time that I watched, or I had heard about Bates Motel myself as well, because the first review that I had read about it was not a favorable one, because it was taking place in contemporary times. And they're like, well, one of the first things that you see in Bates Motel is Norman Bates listening to his iPod. And
right.
So they are letting you know right off the bat that it's something that's contemporary. And I don't know, I thought it was a pretty interesting show, and I thought it worked quite well, and I've watched all the way up to the end of season 3, and I know that they've concluded the show now, or it's concluding very soon with the end of season 5 here.
Yeah, it's all done. It's all finished and out there. I hope you make it to the end, because season 4 and 5, I think, are the strongest of the series.
Oh, excellent. Right on. Yeah, we're going to be covering it season by season on our podcast here.
Cool.
It'll be fun. So how much of Bernard Herrmann's original music did you use for the Bates Motel score?
None. However, it would be disingenuous to say that there wasn't influence there, but it wasn't all. It also wasn't really a desire to try to emulate him, nor was it intended to be an homage. It was more that, in just about everything I do, there's an undeniable influence because he was so influential to me. Just in my formation as a composer and as a fan, it's there, whether I wanted it to be there or not. But as far as actual music that we used from him or from the psycho world, there was none.
How much direction did you receive later on in the seasons, or did they pretty much let you take charge and do the music yourself as the series went on, or were you still getting a lot of direction on how they wanted it to be composed?
There was definitely still direction being given, but very much in a collaborative nature. However, I will say that one of the benefits of being on, for an extended period of time, a show where you develop a shorthand based on the experience that you have together. And also it develops a certain amount of trust where we all feel comfortable disagreeing. And not that that happens often, but there are times where they might have a different idea about something than I would, or a different point of view or perspective. And we can talk through that or even argue about it. And then just try something. But there was a tremendous amount of trust there, which I appreciated so much from the editors and producers that I worked with regularly, to allow me to try different things. Because I was also very much willing to do anything that they wanted. Even if I didn't necessarily agree with it, my first responsibility is to satisfy them and the dramatic direction of the show. That was always the first priority, what's right for the show. And then, because music is subjective, sometimes it did lead to just difference of opinion. But as I said, I was very fortunate to have a pretty significant amount of trust to do different things and try different things. But it doesn't mean that the direction ever waned over the course of five seasons.
How did the tone of your music change over the 5 seasons? Was there any themes that you brought through and you kept bringing back for each season? Or did you end up in a very different place than where you started?
Yes. all of the above. For example, the theme for Norma and Norman runs consistent through the entire show. It's the very last little bit of music that we hear, the very last little score we hear in the entire season series is their theme over the closing scene, which I won't reveal to you since you haven't seen it yet. Yeah, that stayed consistent, but there were also definitely introductions of new themes, of new sounds. Sometimes because there were new characters, or other times because familiar characters started doing new things. And I also found that there were more relationship themes than actual character themes, because so much of the show was a result of the relationships between whether Norma and Norman, or Norman and his brother Dylan, or Norman and whichever lovely young woman he happened to be in a relationship with. Or then when one of those young women started having a relationship with his brother. But And so then obviously the theme that that person had been involved with would change to reflect the different circumstances. So, and I also think the sound evolved a little bit where we were maybe a little more electronic early on and became probably less so as the season, as the series went on.
So what kind of projects are you working on now? What's next for Chris Bacon?
Chris Bacon right now is working on a show for Amazon called The Tick. I don't know if you remember, in I guess the early 90s, there was an animated series of this kind of giant blue superhero type creature named The Tick.
Yep.
It was created by a guy named Ben Edlund as a comic book character. And he's gone through several iterations, both as an animated series and then was a live action series for a brief time with Patrick Warburton playing the Tick on Fox. But it didn't last very long, but it kind of developed a cult following. And now Amazon has given a go with the same creator, the same guy. And it's really kind of an amazing, fun process because it's so completely different from Bates Motel. So that'll be on Amazon, I guess, this fall.
Okay.
Yeah, doing that, doing a ride for Disney World, which is always a blast to do. And then I've got a movie coming up later this fall that's actually a sequel to Gnomeo and Juliet, which I had the pleasure to work on some years ago, and they're doing a sequel to it with, you know, the original cast back, with Johnny Depp as a character called Sherlock Gnomes, who is the sworn protector of all garden gnomes in England, or London.
What work did you do on Gnomeo and Juliet? I've got three young daughters, and they just love that movie. I don't even know how many times I've seen it.
Oh, yeah? Oh, that's great. I scored it. I co-scored it with my, I guess you'd call him my mentor, James Newton Howard. We both wrote the music for it. Using Elton John songs as a guide, who was also very much involved.
Yeah, that's the kids love that movie. I don't even know how many times I've seen it, but it's interesting. So that's cool that there's another one coming out. Well, where can people follow you on social media or get information on your career or your projects that you're working on?
Oh man, that's a great question. I am on Facebook, not on Twitter. My website has been under construction for like a decade. you're inspiring me to get my act together to actually finish that up so that I can answer that question more satisfactorily. But so right now it's people like you who keep people up to date.
Well, my last question for you before you go is, what's your favorite Alfred Hitchcock movie?
You know, it's funny because I actually, in this case, I think about the scores more than the movie sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, I, for example, one of my favorite pieces of film music ever is actually the opening credits, kind of overture type thing to North by Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Vertigo is just so crazy good. That, you know, both musically and the film, but to me, the music is just so transcendent as to what music can be to a, you know, really kind of crazy movie like that. I think just for loyalty's sake, I'm going to say Psycho. How about that?
That's fine.
Since
that's
we're on the topic of Bates Motel.
It's a great movie.
I'm going to run with that.
Yeah. Right on. Yeah, Bernard Herrmann is probably my favorite, you know, classical film composer. I mean, I love his, the music I actually like of his the most is actually his music that he composed for the original Twilight Zone, and the original theme that he did for that is just outstanding. But, you know, Vertigo is just absolutely amazing, and the work that he did with De Palma and Sisters, you know, like, oh, beautiful, beautiful stuff.
Yeah, he was extremely influential to a lot of people, that, you know, not least of which to me.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, Chris, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to getting caught up on season 5 of Bates Motel here pretty soon.
It's my pleasure, Brandon. Thank you for taking an interest.
Thank you so much for listening to this interview today with Chris Bacon, composer for Bates Motel. I realized I didn't introduce myself at the start of the episode. I'm Brandon Metella, one of the co-hosts of Good Evening. And don't forget that Good Evening is available on the Fandom Podcast Network, and you can find them on Facebook. Just search Fandom Podcast Network. You can find them on Twitter at FanPod Network, and you can search them through Podbean. My co-hosts, Tom Caldwell, you can find him on Instagram at TheRealTomCaldwell, and you can find Chris on Twitter at Hire_boy. And you can check out his other podcast called North by Nerdwest. And you can find me over on the Trek FM network with a show called Melodic Treks, which is all about the music of Star Trek, and a show called Warp 5 with my friend Floyd, which is all about Star Trek Enterprise. Thank you very much for listening, and join us again next time as we talk about The Lodger.